Brings us to item 10, the Crab public hearing. Mr. O'Reilly.
I get to say good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I said good morning. That's a pleasure for me. And wanted to give you just a little bit of an idea of the proceedings that staff intends. Last commission meeting, August 27th, we did have a very engaging commission at that meeting with quite a few questions, but also concerns that were expressed at the end of the discussion item for these blue crab management measures, and we will address those. But one of those issues concerned the benthos and the effects on the bottom from dredges, and Mr. Plumlee spent a little bit of time concerned over that. We do have Dr. Rochelle Seitz from Virginia Institute of Marine Science, and she will present information related to the benthos. Also, we have Dr. Ron Lipschitz is here. He can serve two capacities. One, he's been the VIMS blue crab ecologist for many years. I'm guessing more than 25, but he can make a face at me if I'm wrong. And the other capacity is he can, if you wish, talk about the horseshoe bycatch. You heard that come up today in the 1942 sanctuary, and the fact that Adam Kenyon mentioned that it's hoped at the November 4th meeting that we can move forward not to have bycatch in that area. Dr. Lipschitz, at the August meeting, presenting his study on crab dredge mortality, noted that a lot of the damaged crabs, horseshoe crabs that is, were in the hard bottom areas, greater than 60% sand composition, so that might be something the commission would like to hear about. As well as Rochelle Seitz, Joe Grist from staff does have some footage he took with the ROV during the crab dredge study that went from December 17, 2012 through about March 14, 15, 2013. So he'll have some footage there, and he can also explain what the conditions were like on the bottom. And I wanted to mention that especially because that was a pretty well-discussed area of concern. Today we're going to have a lot of information from the public, and I'm going to go over most of that when we come to the winter dredge fishery season, limited season option, because most of the comments were there. And some have been handed out to you, but I'll go over those in particular when that time arises. This is nothing more than the public notice that you have before you. You can probably see that there are quite a few items here besides just the opening of the winter dredge fishery season or the closing of the winter dredge fishery season. And I'm not going to read down there, but we definitely will show you all those items as we go through. So staff has developed a decision tree to assist the commission, we hope. And what that would be to first establish the 2014 crab pot and peeler pot commercial harvest season as March 17 through November 30th. Right now, there is not a season, so there will be a regulation to establish that season. The one thing I want to point out about item one, it used to be from about 1984 until through 2012 that there was a spring bushel limit. Please know that that 51 bushel limit or 17 barrels is no longer in effect. There's not a monitor on the spring fishery, and we do have bushel limits that are proposed, but I wanted to make sure that that point was presented to the commission. Item two, shall the 2013-14 winter crab dredge fishery season be opened? If the commission feels the answer is yes, then the decision tree will take us to items that will include the draft regulation that's in your packet and present that information on just how the limiting situation would be. If it's no, then staff would move on to what's in your packet, which is the trigger mechanisms, management triggers that could be used for the commission to have a basis for saying We now know that there's abundance level in certain components that I'm going to go over that indicate there can be a limited crab dredge fishery season. How should it be regulated? That can be answered through the draft regulation, and the triggers are right here. And I will mention now, just to make sure you understand, the triggers that are in your document are specific to the crab dredge fishery season. They do not apply to the crab pot season or any other type of crab gear basis. Those would have to be developed. Another question, which is also on the agenda, is shall the 2013 crab pot season be extended? You may recall in 2012, I believe even on the Crab Management Advisory Committee, the majority wanted a season to be extended in 2012. Some did not. It turned out that the harvest was around 250,000 pounds. Staff had projected 349,000 pounds, so it was a little bit less, but it is something that the Commission wanted to do in 2012. Item 6, the license category specific bushel limits. This is really a crucial item with everything that you've been hearing about the limited dredge fishery season. Bushel limits are very important, and when we get to the bushel limits, I'll explain that we really never have had bushel limits as such before, except for the spring 51 bushel limit. The reason we had bushel limits in 2013 was to compensate for the extended season. There was no such thing as a standalone bushel limit in 2012 or 13, and there could be for 2014. So we have that information for you. Finally, establish a declaration date for licenses who are eligible to use agents. You may recall agents has been circulating as a somewhat controversial issue on the Crab Management Advisory Committee. There's been no clear-cut definition from the folks who are on industry. Some think there should be no agents. Some think agents who are there should stay in place. Some think that you can probably broaden it a little bit. So we'll talk about the agent situation. It's not a decision to change the mechanism that you adopted in 2013. It's merely a way that those who wish to be agents need to let the commission know by a certain date. Otherwise, those who could have agents are left waiting. And that did happen this year. Briefly go over the industry survey results. I think in July, the commissioner met with staff and said, we need to have a survey. We need to ask everyone who has a license what they think about the proposals that will go forward. So 1,523 surveys were mailed out indicating the licensees, and we did set a due date of September 27th. Mostly all that came in were on the due date. We didn't have very many that passed the due date. We received about a 30% response rate, 452 responses. And I think on the one hand, some might say only 30%, but those of you who know how surveys go, 30% might be looked at as a fairly good return. The options that were looked at in the survey were closure of the dredge fishery season or establishing a limited season, the possible extension of the blue crab pot season through December 15, 2013 for both male and female crab harvest, and establishing bushel limits according to the five license categories. So here's what everyone looked at who looked at the survey. And there's a note here that these options were prior to the CMAQ recommendations of last week, and that's just for information for later. But in this column here, you see the five pot categories, and right here under option one, you can see that the season would be extended, and these are the bushel limits that would go along with these categories. So they range from 17 to 56. The second option that the licensees looked at was having a winter crab dredge fishery that was limited, according to the way the regulation is in your packet, of 1.5 million pounds, and those would range from 12 to 48. The third option would have both an extension and a limited fishery season for crab dredge, and they're very similar here, only because what you have to realize is part of the Crab Management Advisory Committee deliberations were, well, maybe we can take less than the 1.5 million pound quota as an allocation, and that way those who are in the crab pot fishery would be favorable towards not having to account for the other 250,000 pounds. So that's all that's going on with these options. Option four, which is going to end up as the staff preferred option, does go with the crab pot season ending December 15th and a winter dredge fishery season of 1.5 million pounds. Option five is a very important option because it's what I mentioned earlier. This is a standalone bushel limit. The significance of that is that if the commission, as you'll see later on, has no interest in supporting options one through four, then option five, as you can see here, even from the survey, 64% thought there should be a selection of option five. The Crab Management Advisory Committee the other night endorsed the entire table, with the modifications that these change a little bit, as you'll see later, go down just a little bit because of the female crab being harvested from November 21st to 30th, and that's 108,000 pounds. So this is something that staff proposes is important. You have heard that the Bay jurisdictions are hoping to have allocation of the resource. There's a Bay-wide management plan that started in 2008. There's also everything based on abundance from the winter dredge survey, including the exploitation rates or removal rates, are Bay-wide. So that's why this becomes a very important tool for the future. The commission can also use this management tool in times of good and in times of not so good in terms of how to make adjustments. So I'm coming back to question one, and that was 46% of respondents supported option one, 9% supported option two, 9% as well supported option three, 13% supported option four, and 16% had no response, and some percentage wrote in option five right here because it wasn't really part of the question. However, under question two, it was stated if there is no support for options one through four, do you support option five for the 2014 crab pot season? 31 selected no, 5 had no response, and as I mentioned, 64 indicated yes. I will not give you information today as in August. You have a complete package from August, and behind your tab, it's all referenced, if you're wondering, by a letter A and then a page number. That's the entire evaluation from August. There's plenty of charts, figures, explanations, details that you would ever want to know for now and will help you in the future. I mean, that was the basis for presenting this. But I would like to mention just one thing. When you look at the extension in 2012, which staff gave you as 349,000 pounds, turned out to be about 250,000 pounds. Later on, just try and think about the idea that the study that took place that the commissioner proposed, and it did take place and the commission was well aware of, that was about 250,000 pounds. Part of it was in 2012, maybe half, maybe a little less, and the rest in 2013. The extension was all in 2012. So roughly, there was about perhaps 370,000, 380,000 pounds in 2012. I think that might form a context for you when you realize that the 1.5 million pound quota, or even something less, if that's industry's wish, is spread between 2 years. December is part of it. 2014 is the other part of it. But I want to be completely clear that it's all spawning potential. And that's what you've heard before. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. The spawning potential is there over winter. The spawning potential is there in the spring. So for question three of the survey, what option do you support? And 54% supported a closure for the sixth consecutive year. 16% supported an opening, and 30% had no response. Question four, what option do you support? And what came out here was the extension of the pot season until December 15th, or a typical closure, which has been since 2009. November 20th ends the female crab harvest. The male crab harvest ends November 30th. 35% supported a season extension up here, and 57% supported the typical closure. So just going to come back through these fairly quickly. Establishing the 2014 crab pot and peeler pot season is March 17th through November 30th. Staff and CMAC both are in support of that. Again, CMAC met on the 15th of October. No public comments were received on this particular item. Shall the winter crab dredge fishery season be open 2013-14? Staff recommends a limited opening. CMAC approved by a vote of 5-3 a limited opening. And then how shall the 2013-14 winter crab dredge fishery season be regulated? The criteria in the evaluation, and really strictly the regulation, defines all that, whether it's by area, time, participation, a lot of parameters, which, if necessary, we're going to go over those as well. So I want to talk about comments from the public. And except for a very few, perhaps three, maybe four comments on the extended season, all of the comments were about the winter dredge fishery season. And I want to run through this quickly as I can, but what I want to do first is indicate that you have some letters in front of you. One's from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources on blue paper. One is from the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, and one is from the Nature Conservancy. And then in your packet, you also have the letter from the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I would imagine there are some who are going to speak on behalf of these letters, but I know Maryland Department of Natural Resources personnel and Potomac River Fisheries Commission personnel are not here. So I'm going to speak about those very quickly and say there's really similarity in those two letters. If you look at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, they find the trigger mechanism or management triggers to be interesting, but should be first reviewed by the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, which is something that staff told CMAC on the 15th as well. Staff agrees with that. We think we've developed a good trigger system, but we do need to see what others in the Bay think, since it's a Bay-wide management plan. The second thing is that both of the letters talk about the framework of management, and by that I'm going to show you a little of the framework in a while, the control rule that you're familiar with by now, and also the idea of where abundance and harvest and removal rates all play a hand. So what the Maryland letter says was that really wasn't available till 2011 on the female portion of the blue crab stock. And as you know, we have targets, 215 million female age 1 plus crabs, blue crab females that are 2.4 inches and larger. We have a danger point, a threshold of 70 million female crabs. So these are things that have been presented to you before. The other thing is they certainly support the efforts with industry, and there's really, on the second paragraph, after talking about that once scientific boundaries are established to ensure the harvest level and stock abundance remain sustainable, the industry is then best suited to determine how the fishery should operate within these boundaries. So co-management is not limited. It's bay-wide, as you'll see with the Potomac River Commission letter. PRFC is supportive of industry working with the MRC and the greater fisheries management community within the scientific fisheries management framework to determine how the fishery should operate. Now, concerning the winter dredge limited season, both letters say that they can't support that right now. The Nature Conservancy does recognize in the second paragraph that there has been an attempt to limit and specifically define closure areas and accountability provisions, and that that work has been done. The Nature Conservancy also shares staff's premise that the 1942 Lower Bay Sanctuary and hard sand areas really should be off limits to crab dredging, and as we talked about earlier, horseshoe crab dredging. And that's from a staff viewpoint here. And I'm going to take just a second because I imagine Chris Moore is here, but CBF recognizes the work being done here at the commission and feels that it's led to a better understanding of the fishery and all the associated components of the fishery. CBF also would rather see that a population size was more robust, a bigger population size. CBF cannot support the 2013-14 opening, but CBF does believe the use of bushel limits on a licensed pot license category has brought additional equity and enforceability to the blue crab fishery. So I did want to read those because they do share a similar theme. Not supporting the immediate opening this season, but the groundwork is there with industry, the framework is there with the commission and staff, and I think that's very important. I'm going to cover a few of these other comments, and I may need a choreographer to help me with this, but I'm going to do the best I can. But Andy Ellen on staff was kind enough to put these all together, and you have a packet here which will make a little bit of weightlifting exercise. And what's been done here is, on the top, it indicates Type 1 form letters without personal comment received as of the 21st of 2013. And really, there are 23 letters like that. And you have a little summary or a little example of that letter at the bottom of that page. If you flip to the next page, there are 687 form letters with no personal comment. I'm going to pretend I'm just glad that the day for public comment ended at 12 noon Monday. And I'm going to leave it at that. I've never seen so much email in my life. And you can see the letter here. And this is a similar indication that we saw before in the Maryland and the Potomac River letter and CBF. They're concerned about the stock, but at the same time, they support the fishery and a healthy fishery. But if you look at the headers as you go through some of these letters, it's really, now is not the time. That's the way they all start out. Now is not the time to reopen the winter dredge fishery season. That doesn't say never. That says now is not the time. And we value, as all of us do, the public comments. Staff understands we can only educate and extend our reach so far with the education, but I think more and more the public probably needs that information. They probably need more details I did respond to 75 letters of this type, and I responded to the first 100 that I received that were not from this form letter. Then you have, as you go back, you have to really go back almost towards the two-thirds part. There is a form letter with personal comments, and there are 28 of those. And I think I've done a fair representation of what we have received. Now I'll talk about the comments. So the types of reasons given for not opening the winter dredge fishery season are high mortality rate of reproductive age females. The dredge season only benefits a few eligible harvesters. The 2013 blue crab season was observed as extremely poor. The benthic destruction, female crabs harvested during dredge season are of poor commercial value, and overpredation, leaving less for harvest and enjoyment by recreational sector. 24 of the 835 individuals would like the winter dredge fishery closed permanently, and of the form letters received from two different types, you have the count here, 54 and 740. Of the consistency, who made up those form letters, we did get comments. One was an eligible crab pot licensee. 22 said they were recreational crabbers. And a lot of those cited that conditions were not very good for them in a lot of the creeks and the areas where they happened to try and be recreational crabbers this year. 13 were in favor of opening the winter dredge fishery season. 3 of those are eligible for crab pot license. And there were 4 groups that opposed the opening for 2013-14, the Peninsula Saltwater Sports Fishermen Association, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, the Elizabeth River Project, and the Virginia Conservative Network. The group in favor was the Virginia Blue Crab Industry Panel. So anyone who's been here a little while certainly has memories. And in February of 2008, the commission agenda included a situation of how to pare down the crab dredge fishery of the time and really make a limited entry. And that limited entry was formed on those who were in 2005, 2006, 2006, 2007 seasons. And this is the 53 that everyone hears about all the time, the 53. They were the 53 crab dredgers of record. They were able to continue February, March of that year. The season ends typically in the past March 31. By April, and there had been a lot of legwork going on with all the jurisdictions in 2008, even prior to the governor coming out and promoting a 34% reduction in the female harvest in the bay, the commission was scurrying to figure out how to achieve the 34% reduction. And as it turned out, half that contribution initially was from the winter crab dredge fishery. The other parts, as you'll see in another slide, were from the dates the sanctuary would be open or closed, coal rings getting larger, and the peeler size limit being increased. And all that was 34%. And each jurisdiction was very determined to make that 34% and did. When you look back, there was slightly over 34% reduction bay-wide. What happened here in April 2008 was a look for potential percentages, I should say, of female harvest. And the winter crab dredge fishery at that time was half the harvest. It wasn't a very big fishery. The last season was only 1.4 million pounds, which is small compared to the history of the winter crab dredge fishery. But in terms of female potential, it was large. So everyone left April 2008. And the next thing that happened was the crab dredge fishery and anyone associated with the crab dredge fishery became demonized. Why? Because all this information, all these reports started coming in. I know crab dredgers who catch just as many, or who have mortality on just as many crabs as they harvest, or half as many, or two-thirds as many. And look at the crab dredge fishermen at that time. They had operated for 5.5 generations since 1900, doing the same thing. No one stepped in to tell them, you might want to get off hard sand areas and get in muddy areas and, you know, not be having mortality of crabs. That didn't happen. We've spent the next 5.5 years as a staff and as a commission trying to figure out what to do about the crab dredge fishery season. And when we left the last meeting, I was able to have a comment. The commissioner let me comment during the commission deliberation, and my comment was, the main emphasis of staff is to provide information for the commission. Staff did not feel as if the commission, since 2008, really has had the suite of information at its hand that it could make the best decision. Certainly good decisions were made, but staff didn't feel that all the information was there. And I'm not here to give a social talk, but I do think that that should be recognized when you think about the demonization of an industry and then you look at the very limited opportunity. I don't even think anyone is ever thinking of a dredge fishery again. A dredge fishery means a dredge fishery the way it existed in the past. Now what staff is going to propose later on today and what the industry is proposing is a limited opportunity for some individuals to be able to dredge for crabs under safe conditions that have been vetted by scientific study. So following that, there was a lawsuit. The commission was sued. The lawsuit ended up, the commission was upheld, except 28.2.707 of the Code of Virginia. The judge found that the commission has to rule each year on the disposition of the crab dredge season. The commission also, if I remember, had to pay for the costs of the lawyer in that case, but the commission was upheld overall. That followed closures in 2009 and 2010. And in 2011, there was a bill, 1724, that passed through the House that called for a three-year hiatus on the crab dredge fishery season. And it did make it through the House in the Senate. It bogged down. I was there, and the Senate committee indicated, if you have a relationship, talking about the commission, with industry, then if they come to you each year, you can review that information. We can't understand why there should be a three-year hiatus. And so that's how that ended. And by 2011, later on, there was another closure. In 2012, there was an industry panel guidance document. That's behind your tab. It may be A55 in the last month section. This is where the commissioner met with industry and said, we need your help. We seem to at times not have the same viewpoints. Here's our viewpoint at BMRC. Do you think you can work on some of these terms of reference, 10, and guiding principles, and get enough industry to help us out? And you heard last in August from Paula Jasinski some of the progress with that panel, which I'm not going to go over right now. I've been lucky enough to attend two meetings, and it is a very thoughtful group. The commissioner also, looking ahead, directed a crab dredge, what we called incidental mortality study, which Dr. Lipschitz corrected us and said it is discard mortality, which it is. It's the same species. And that was conducted by VIMS. The folks who conducted that are here today. VMRC staff was there with them. And you know the results from Dr. Lipschitz in August. We also had had crab dredge study subcommittee meetings. And, however, through all that, the conditions still weren't there. You might remember 2012 was the best amount of juveniles, like 587 million, but an anemic amount of one plus females, 97 million. So the season was closed in 2012. Here's where the study began, as I mentioned earlier, 2012, really in December, ended March. And here you have some references if you want to page back to the study results from Dr. Lipschitz, the mortality study, starting on page A169. And also, here's the reference that I misquoted. It's actually A44 for the industry panel. In 2013, there was a working group meeting. The commissioner gave Joe Grist and I a laundry list and said, please look at all these aspects. That someone really needs to look at all these aspects. They can be as simple as the size of the teeth on the dredge, or as complicated as which areas would the limited fishery season be prosecuted. That was done by the group committee meeting, and in October, we're here. We had a CMAQ meeting last week, and we're here right now. So I'm going to whiz through this one, but this is the authority. This is where the ruling came in, and this has to happen each year. This is relevant. This brings us back to what happened in 2008. 53 harvesters were of record for that April, and there were an abundance of measures that could have been adopted. In the 20s, there were 25 different measures that could have been adopted. Ultimately, the commission used this CRISP, which is the change in cull ring, which eventually was 2 2 3/8 inch cull rings. The sanctuary measures, which closed the sanctuary initially, except for the 1942 sanctuary, on May 1 in 2008, and later went to May 15 everywhere the way it is today. And the peeler size limit was increased incrementally right in mid-July. Really, it's the same kind of situation that Ms. Hall was talking about. Once you got to July 16th, that's when the change in the peeler size limit was to match Maryland's. So that was a 28% reduction, 17% from the dredge season. In the first season, the closure was actually October 27 for the pot fishery, for the crab pot fishery. It took till 2009 before that was changed to November 21st to November 30th. This might seem unusual, but from 2008 really to 2012, what you can read up here, these 10 points were the criteria or the reasons that staff recommended to the commission a closure of the winter dredge fishery season. So for five seasons, these were really the basis for that. And I have given that same information to the commission. That's why I chose 2010. And I wouldn't call this refutation down in 2013. I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that some things have changed. And I hope you'll agree with the fact that some things have changed. We spend a lot of time, and the public has, and that's fine, on the pre-spawn females, but the commission knows that the pre-spawn females don't spawn until the end of May, at the earliest, if not a little later in the summer. So any fishery that's occurring is taking pre-spawn females, and staff does not side with any fishery, even in the broadest sense or the narrowest sense, but But we know in 2012 in March, and we've shown the commission, there was a tremendous harvest from the crab pot fishery, 2.5 million pounds. 70-some percent were females, if not more. So there should be no misconception about pre-spawn. Until late May or July, August, there is no spawning. The waste issue, and this is one of the comments from Mr. Plumley, which I thought was a good comment, that there's only one study. There's only one scientific study that Dr. Lipschitz and VIMS personnel did. That's true to an extent. There were studies back in the 89-90 season. They did record what was called incidental mortality at that time, and part of what happened with the commission was that I did report that some of those incidental mortalities were fairly high, 26-27% in some areas. I also reported at the time that 60 boats were in that one area, so it's hard to tell much from there. It was not a designed scientific study. It just so happened that we recorded incidental mortality on board only. So there is some information available. The product question, and I think that was a true statement about the poor product. The buyers even now say that as long as they stay on mud, it's okay. If they go in the sand bottom, hard bottom, that doesn't produce a very good winter crab, but there can be good product, and I think what you'll see in a slide that follows this is the price can be pretty good. The buyers also tell us it wouldn't last like it did previously when they used to mix frozen product with dredged product because there's not that, it's not that type of a situation anymore. The infrastructure has changed. But there is demand from product. Delaware, I contacted Delaware. Delaware's had a dredge fishery for many, many years and has even had some Virginians participating in a Delaware dredge fishery. I don't know whether that's the case right now. It was in the past. Delaware's dredge fishery is 12% of its annual harvest. On the other hand, if you aren't aware, this year has been poor for the East Coast. It hasn't just been poor for the Bay. It's been poor for the East Coast. And my contact in Delaware said, we aren't really getting any above-surface comments about the dredge fishery, but there's starting to be some grumbling, and the grumbling is because the potters aren't doing so well. But they've had a long-time dredge fishery. There's certainly in number five no change on the public perception. You have all the comments that go behind that. And the last thing is that I want to mention is that there's an indication that just about everyone has some type of license. So if you're not in the winter dredge fishery season, you can rely on some other crab license. In fact, only 12 of 49 proposed participants have no crabbing licenses. And this might be a good time to tell you that we went out of the August meeting with 37 individuals in mind. And we met with CMAQ, and this is also the wishes of the industry panel. When we left, there was comments of, well, maybe it can be a little more than 37, maybe, you know, it wasn't nailed down. What we found out is that ultimately staff agreed with the industry panel and CMAQ that those 53 that were mentioned earlier from 2008 really have some standing, even if all the regulations were rescinded back from that time. All of them are in the same situation that staff mentioned in August. They either had five, most of them, four out of five, a lot of them, and a few had three out of five, and there may have been a very few that had two. But they were all part of the original 53. They were also, which to us made more sense than worrying about who the 53 were then, they were all invited first to the Ghost Pot Marine Debris Collection Program. So they do have some standing. So when we're talking today about participation, we're really talking about 49 And we don't know how many of those 49 would really participate. They may say they would on the phone. They may change their mind when they see the regulation indicates no transfers, no agents, things of that nature. This shows you the price, $1.02 per pound for the study crab that was held in 2012, 2013. You have to search pretty hard to find another occurrence. Here's one in 1998, a couple back here. When you look at the hard crab for all gears without dredge, so crab pot mainly, there are some indications that it's been that high. These have all been adjusted for the consumer price index for inflation. Industry would like a sustained product throughout the winter. No one knows yet whether that's possible, but I think everyone should know based on the study there is a niche market, and how that affects the springtime prices for potters, how it affects the end of the season for potters, those are things that have to be looked at, and I think Ken Smith will talk a little bit about that, so I won't. This is something that staff has done sort of in sign language to you in the past and talk about how everything's tied together and how simple it is. And it really is. It's the harvest over abundance gives you a removal rate or an exploitation rate. And at a certain time, 2011, all that became female-centric for crabs. So it's the harvest of females, their abundance, and the exploitation. And these are all size female crabs, from the smallest to the largest, from age zero up. Here's the threshold, 34%, and here's the target, 25%. This is the control rule that was mentioned. Not going to spend a lot of time on it. Here's 2012. The red line going here is the threshold. You can see there were years where there was a dangerous situation for overfishing, but overfishing in no way is as bad as overfished. And here are some overfished conditions, too, because once you're overfished, you have to immediately try and bring the stock to where it's not overfished. 2012, which was the last full data point we have because you have to have the exploitation rate with it, that's shown here. 2013 is right about here in terms of the one-plus females. Coincidentally, 147 million female age one-plus crabs is the average over 24 winter dredge surveys, right at the average. I don't think staff has shown you information like this before. This is something that goes back several years when Lynn Fegley and I were both on CBSAC working on some problems. And the evidence here is that it's the juveniles that are really controlling the harvest. So however you look at it, and in fact this graph could have been turned the other way, I must have gotten an old copy, but the change in juvenile abundance is related to the change in baywide harvest and explains 74% of the variability in each. That is a strong statistic. I won't pull any punches here. I left out that 587 million because we know that it didn't translate into the fishery. And so there was no reason to include it. But even if you include it, you've got a 52% relationship. So the indication here is the juveniles really play the control. Whatever happens in December through March of any winter dredge survey season is what's determining the next situation with any fishery that takes place in the bay through the end of that next year. So if March 2011 was the end of the winter dredge survey, that would mean you're moving all the way till December of 2011, depending on those juveniles growing into the fishery. This is one reason why when you look at the triggers, you can see why there's an emphasis on juveniles. We were asked for a projection. It's difficult, not as straightforward as other years. In other years, when we did a projection, we come up with roughly about 19 million, 18 to 19 million. The difficulty is effort has dropped off. In other years, if you want to use previous year's number of harvesters or trips, you could do that. This year, effort has dropped off. You can see the harvest. You may remember from last month, there's a table, and there's also a figure which goes from 1964 through 2012. And the comment was made in the evaluation, every decade seems to be a decline. And it's a graph where you can see the peaks each decade just starting to fall off. How much of that is effort compared to was in the 60s and the 70s? You won't find out. There's not that type of data to find out. But there has been a fall off. This is done in a way just to choose a certain amount of years that have the asterisk here. These are the years, or the winter dredge surveys, when the female exploitation was somewhat about halfway between the target over here on the right-hand column and the threshold, so between 25.5% and 34%. And the basis for this is to show you there were five instances when there was a dredge gear harvest that accounted from anywhere from 10 to 20% of the annual harvest, and everything was good in terms of the exploitation rate. And the harvest, when you notice the harvest, 27, 23, 33, 34, 39, really, you know, that's the type of situation that we're sort of wishing we were back to now in a way. The last 30 million pound harvest was 2011. Won't spend a lot of time here, but this is something that staff looked at, and here's a five-year fiscal period. So it's running July to June in order to capture this information. And you've got five fiscal years. You see when the dredge fishery in red was in operation. And you see its contributions a little bit in March, but mostly December and then January. And what you do see is similar to a transference. So last month, and it's on page A23, or in August, pardon me, page A23 of your evaluation, staff mentioned that as soon as the dredge fishery ended, the crab pot fishery increased. And the notes in there are the crab pot fishery used to average over about a 20-year period 78 to 86% of the total annual harvest. It's now 96%. The harvest went somewhere, and if you look where it went, a lot of it went to April, the next five fiscal years. So there is transference. You know, there's no doubt about it. So there might be some comments. There was a comment at the commission. There's a comment in the public comments that you're really looking at a few individuals. What does it end up? Industry says it'll be 25 individuals. You're looking at 25 individuals for the sake of 890 crab potters. But staff doesn't think you're really doing that. Staff just thinks you're reinstating some share of the overall fishery that now is showing up before spawning time. This is something that Dr. Lipschitz and Joe Grist worked on. And if you remember Dr. Lipschitz's talk, I think Mr. Plumley again had asked, well, how did you get such a separation when you were sampling to know you were mud or sand? And Dr. Lipschitz said, well, you know, we had done some preliminary looking. We did the ponar grabs. We did all that. And what you can see right here is that there's a lot of area, 0 to 40%, that is mud bottom. There is some sand area within this quadrangle. This is to represent the proposed area. It's 362 square miles. For reference, you might remember that the spawning sanctuary is about 865 square miles in the bay, and that doesn't quite cover everything. So we haven't received information as to what this represents of the original bay dredge area, but it would certainly be on the order of 35 to 40%. I can't imagine be more. We did have some protests, which is natural, when we had our special committee meeting, where there are those who think they can be very safe in certain areas that are hard sand, but the science doesn't show it. The science shows mainly that you want to be here with very little overlap here. And staff doesn't doubt that there aren't crab dredge fishermen, because I personally had a lot of conversations, and these individuals could be anywhere and do very well and not have a lot of mortality, even in hard bottom. However, when we had our subcommittee meetings back in 2012, there were industry members who stated, we didn't take care. You know, essentially, we weren't stewards. We did get through there, even if it was 5 knots an hour. We just went through it. So it's not a discredit to those who practice safe management, but you have to be careful that you have an area where it can't be a problem. And I think you remember Dr. Lipschitz indicated that the mud areas, which were principal areas, and a lot of the study took place up in here as well, they would be on the order of a little less than 5%. And the real benefit of the VIM study was it looked at on board and on the bottom. I think this is another look, the grayscale. This was provided, I'm pretty sure, by Paula Jasinski from the industry panel. And you've got the markers up here. Might be a little harder to see on grayscale. These coordinates, pardon me, the actual coordinates we'd need to have engineering and surveying help us out a little bit and do the GPS for it. So I wanted to address another comment from a commission member from August. Mr. Plumley, and I promise not to say your name too many more times, but you had great concerns about the bottom and about the sediment and about what happens in the benthos and what are the disruptions. And this chart does not indicate pinpoint areas. So, for example, it indicates tributaries. So wherever it's pointing, it's just pointing to the tributary at large. And what we did, we looked at all the gear types that disrupt the bottom that are in Virginia. There's a lot of them. There always has been. Clam dredge, power dredge, patent tongs, conch dredge, which has 5 different areas where you can conch dredge, including out in the territorial sea, crab hand scrape, oyster dredge, and oyster hand scrape, which are the smaller 24-inch dredges. And you probably hear reports from Dr. Wesson when he talks about the area management. Sometimes you'll see 60 or more. Sometimes you'll see 100 boats up there doing that. So this is not meant to indicate that staff has an understanding of the effects, but staff wanted to show you that there's plenty of interaction with the bottom type. So this is a question about triggers. If the commission does not wish to open the season 2013-14, staff would recommend the adoption of management triggers. We have put some effort into the crab dredge fishery season, and that effort goes back quite a few months. The industry panel has put a lot of effort. The Crab Management Advisory Committee has put a lot of effort, and I think it's important the commission knows that it's something that is the future. Future management of the crab resource, as the letter from Maryland Department of Natural Resources indicated, when you have the scientific boundaries, whether it's a control rule, whatever you may have for your boundaries, industry really is the only entity that can help with the management. So we hope that's appreciated. And here's the triggers that staff did tell the Crab Management Advisory Committee we would go to CBSAC. CBSAC is the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee. It has representatives from DMRC, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, NOAA, both from the southeast and from the northeast, VIMS. There's quite a representation. It's become a very good place to vet information. So what we've done, and this was finished the day of CMAQ, but it started probably 3 weeks before that. And different staff members tried different approaches. They were all valuable, but it has to be something that is fairly straightforward. So we know juveniles are important. I'm going to jump to the juveniles. They're very important because they determine harvest overall, and they also are what the winter and spring fisheries depend on, the juveniles grown to that following winter and spring. The average over the years is 264. So what staff would say about the juveniles are, if you get a standard error, you may have heard Sally Roman's response to Mr. Tankard as to why she didn't use the mean for the striped bass data. And she said, because there's variability. Well, that's the case here, too. So when it gets to be 293 million, then that's looked upon as a trigger that you could liberalize management measures. This is not for all crab fisheries. This is just speaking to the dredge season. Similarly, if you look at the total number of crabs, males and females, both of these are males and females, then 494 is the long-term 24-year average. If you get to 536, then that's a signal that it's a pretty good time for management to be able to say we can relax a little bit. The number of spawning females, and since you've been inundated with this for a little while, this should raise some eyebrows, would be 128. Now, on the bottom edge is what you do when you start to say, well, do we need to do something? Because we're down to these values down here, and we're a standard error below the mean. In between is sort of a status quo situation. The reason that you might have some question is the target for females that's espoused by everyone is 215 million females. That's the target. 70 is the threshold, the unsafe portion. This is 118, but you have to keep in mind very few of these crabs are part of the winter dredge fishery season. The winter dredge fishery season is depending more on juveniles as they move through. Other fisheries have already had their chance. The gauntlet's already been run by the time these crabs get to any spawning. In fact, even in the 2000 report from ODU and VIMS, they estimated somewhere between 10% and 15% of what's available in the lower bay by winter is age 1 plus females. Most of it's juveniles. And Dr. Lipschitz corroborated that recently by saying 90% of what you find down there are crabs that haven't spawned for the first time. So 118 seems low, except if you remember, and I know you don't, a lot of you, but that's fine. In 2008, what CBSAC did was to say we need an interim target. And that interim target should help us until we get to the next assessment in 2011. And that interim target, and Mr. Tankard will remember, was 200 million crabs, age one plus crabs, both sexes. So this is just females. Even if females were more than the 52% that they're supposed to be of the crab stock, and even if you say they're 70, this is still in the range. But the main thing about this is the juveniles are controlling it. The other part of this which you can't see, this can only be enacted when you're within the target and threshold. I know it's good to always think every year you're going to be at 25.5% removal rate, but at least you'd want to be between the two. Closer to the target, the better. So there's four things at operation. All these would have to occur, and the previous exploitation rate would have to be within close to the target, you know, not too far away. Staff thinks that's pretty significant as far as a trigger, a pretty good trigger to work with. CBSAC should have some say about that. So here's to show you after that long discussion, and I apologize if it was too long, but here's to show you how things would work out. We really have 2010. Should that be a surprise? 2010, where all four conditions are met. The previous year was 23% removal rate. We didn't know this until after 2010, but in early 2010, April, we knew here was the abundance of those three segments. And that was when we had above 215 million in 2010. And then in 2011, there was that 31% winter kill in Maryland, where it may have been another 215%. So we really aren't varying very far afield. We're just concentrating on the juveniles. Shall the 2013 crab pot season be extended? Staff and CMAC thought so. Sure. For afterwards. Thanks. A little sidebar there. Four individuals provided public comment in support of extending the 2013 season. Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Elizabeth River Project oppose the extension of the season. The sixth item is bushel limits. This has been mentioned before. CMAC approved them all. Staff preferred option four. That's the season closer. The season is extended from December 15th and the winter dredge fishery and bushel limits. Staff secondary alternative, option five, with the November 30th closure. So option five, again, is just if the commission does not want to adopt one through four, option five is offered up as a second alternative. There's a note here, the current 2013 bushel limits are not comparable to what's in 2014. I hope I covered that a little bit. We're not going to go into the methods, but keep in mind what was done for 2013 was just to take away some of the inflated data points that really made no sense. What was done for 2014 was to have the industry tell us what they thought a good day was and a very good day, which was, in their minds, if you set five pots and get a bushel, it's a very good day. If you set 10 pots and get a bushel, it's a good day. We worked from that basis for our bushel limits. We do think they're realistic. One of the commission members I know talked to me and in reference to 2013 said, but those bushel limits, who's reaching those bushel limits? And we've had public comment. Who's going to reach those bushel limits? Well, in 2011, there would have been crabs left on the table because of the bushel limits. And here is 2011. So you can see using that as a surrogate year for what the bushel limits would do with the various options, you get to see the harvest and you see the impacts, which are roughly in the 700,000 pounds with the bushel limits. 2011 was a good year. It wasn't a great year. It was slightly better than 2010, which is a mystery because there was more abundance in 2010, but that is bay-wide. Down below here, you see the type of impact. Same bushel limit savings, but you see who's impacted. The hardest thing to wrap your arms around here is that a bushel limit is not based on an average profile. It's based on what's within a category, a pot category. So not everyone gets affected equally. And so in this case, for 85 pots, with option 5, 9% would be affected, down to when you get to 425 pots, which is the largest pot category, less than 1%, much less than 1% would be affected, and the other the same. It is differential effects within a pot category, because within a pot category, the harvest amounts reported are differential as well. This is more information on harvesters, and what you see here is how many harvesters you have for each pot category. This is the large category as far as harvesters. I recently looked at these two categories, and in 2012 and 11, they accounted for 86% of the harvest. The other three categories are 14% of the harvest. And you can see the impacts. 8% of 85 pots would be impacted. If you want to move over to the season, this is the closed season. This is the winter dredge fishery season, 1.5 million. This is both. This is both. The only difference is who pays the extra $250,000. So you can see the extended season, there's going to be some impacts all the way across the board here. When you go to the winter dredge, 1.5 million by itself, larger impacts into the pot category. And when you go to both, it really doesn't change too much by that point. What it does here on 48% when you're having to pay back for the dredge fishery. This we talked about a little bit. This is in terms of the agenting and CMAQ approved this approach very quickly. Whoever had a license in 2012, even if they transferred that license to someone else, both those individuals are eligible to have agents. The only difference here is going to be they need to declare by March 1st. So that others can have an opportunity. This is a review of the recommendations. I'm going to fly through them pretty much, and they've already been stated. I think 4 is important to staff. Option 4. Option 5 is the bushel limit, the secondary option for 2014, just a standalone bushel limit. I just want to take a moment to respond to the commission in a informational framework. In August, the questions are as follows. It's the second lowest in 24 years. Is this the right year? I think there's more risk with that type of proposal for 2013-14. I mean, that should be obvious because the abundance of juveniles was 111 million crabs. At the same time, we didn't have the true bushel limits that we have now. What is meant here is to have some of the crabs that would be potted be part of the 2013 and 2014. It would be split dredge fishery season. Is this the right year? I also mentioned today that the commission did provide for an extended season last year and for a study. Even if $1.5 million was the ultimate, unless industry wants to do something else lower, then that's about three times as much as was done last year by the commission. On the other hand, in 2012, the winter dredge take of crabs might be, if it starts later, might be 700,000 pounds. 800,000 pounds, it would represent about 4% of the annual harvest. You've seen lots of slides to see that things have behaved as far as the stock goes, even when the dredge fishery of the past took much more. So it's a matter of the commission's thoughts on conservation equivalency. It really is. And we do not have anything for the pot fishery for triggers right now, but it should be clear that if this trend, and it's really an East Coast trend pretty much, if that continues, the commission has to be ready, and we have to help the commission to go beyond just looking at this issue of winter dredge fishery season. Harvest in 2013 is one of the lowest we've ever seen. It is. Is this the right year? Pretty much the same information. The other part of the information is it would take a 155% increase in the exploitation rate to get to the target of 25.5%. So there'd have to be a 2.5 times increase in the baywide exploitation rate to breach that target. Now, the threshold's much higher. The danger point's much higher. That's part of the control rule. The damage to the habitat, Dr. Seitz is going to provide a little bit more than staff has provided so far. Are we undoing the work by opening the dredge fishery? I don't think the commission closed the dredge fishery, from everything I know, back in 2008, for the same reason it kept the dredge fishery season closed. And I think I've covered that. A lot of information poured in after that April 2008 meeting from harvesters, from dredgers, and it was disturbing. Will there be enforcement headaches? I talked to the colonel and the lieutenant colonel outside today, and their indication is this is what we do. This doesn't pose any more difficulty than anything else. Certainly when there was a 300 boat, more than 300 boats operating in the dredge fishery, law enforcement went to every dock and had every boat, knew what happened. So 25 boats, 30 boats, law enforcement says this is not an enforcement headache. The one study, I think I've covered that. I have gone to the two top computer people I know locally, Chris Bonzak of VIMS, and also Todd Sperling of our MIS staff, to uncover the 20-year-old databases that I thought might give us an opportunity to say, here, we had the coordinates to say exactly here where we were, and look at Dr. Lipschitz's study and try and do that. That's not going to happen, they both told me. So we'll have to rely on something else. Will this increase the demand for a dredge license? Well, with no transfer and no agents and licensee on board, I don't see how that can happen. And I think the commission has complete control of that. There are many fisheries we have where at least staff thinks we wish exceptions had never occurred, but, you know, we all have thoughts about our fellow harvesters, and exceptions do occur sometimes. But here, the first year or whenever the commission says it's possible, there will be none of those. I think I covered the fact that 12 out of the 49 have no crab licenses. There are crab dredge fishermen that we've talked to who would rather just do that anyway. They don't want a crab pot. They don't want to do other things. A lot of fishermen are going to have to accommodate a very few, and I think I've covered that as well. There's that sort of trade-off where April, all of a sudden, in the last five fiscal years, has gained a lot of ground. Where did it come from? Is the Conservation Equivalency Plan staff designed enough to address the impacts of a dredge fishery? Staff certainly thinks it is. Staff thinks that if we get another 2011 in 2014, you'll have about 700,000 pounds that won't be harvested. Some folks won't be happy about that, but that's the way the bushel limit should work. Female crabs, we know that situation. It's really Van Angle in some of his publications from BIMS in the past said as low as 86. Dr. Lipschitz said 95. The study that staff did many years ago, it was 94%. It is a lot of females, but that March 2012 crab pot harvest of 2.5 million pounds was 91% female. And again, I'm giving you information. I'm not trying to step in the middle of user groups here. The majority of crabs caught in the dredge, okay, we have that. The eligibility is the point that takes you by surprise a little bit today, and that did come from CMAQ, and it would be 49. How many would really participate? I think you need to hear from some industry folks, because we've heard everywhere from 22 to 25 to 30 over the last couple of years. The staff recommendation is very small to read because there's a lot to it. But it is to establish the 2014 season for crab and peeler pots, March 17th, 2014, that would end November 30th, 2014. Establish a limited, tightly controlled, monitored crab dredge fishing season that begins either December 1 or December 16. The reason for the two dates are based on if there is or is not an extended season for the pot fishery in 2013, and it would go no later than February 28, 2014 with a maximum harvest quota of 1.5 million pounds. It would be subject to conservation equivalency measures, a maximum participation of 49 individuals, and industry the other night at CMAQ said, keep the quota the same. If more are in there, they just get less quota. If they don't want to do that, then that's fine. So that's the industry's thought. These are folks who were part of the 53 individuals and part of the first offer of the ghost pot fishery. That's their standing. Many have participated in five of five of the last crab dredge seasons, some in four, some in three, a very few in two. And then we do have a regulation if the time is right, and the fee would be $96 for a license. The third option is to extend the season to December 15th. That's why you have a December 16 date here. And establish, number four, establish conservation equivalency through crab pot license-specific category bushel limits. And you've seen those, and of course law enforcement reminds us they should also be barrel limits because some still use barrels. However, should the commission not adopt a 2013 crab pot season extension nor a limited dredge season, staff recommends the establishment of standalone bushel limits, option five, that I showed you a few times, for future adaptive management by the commission. Number five, establish a management trigger framework. That's another alternative, a secondary alternative under the crab dredge fishery season. And it would allow the commission, based on those three abundance metrics, as well as the previous year's exploitation rate, to decide to liberalize. It could also go the other way. You'd have to ratchet down. Number six, establish a 2014 crab agent provision that requires crab licensees with approved agents in 2012 who have reporting requirements to let us know by March 1, this is for the agent situation, to be eligible for one of the 153 agent slots. So we can come back to the decision tree if the commissioner wants to proceed that way. And the first item is the 2014 crab pot and peeler pot season, which has been recommended by staff and by the advisory committee as March 17th through November 30th.
All right, before we get to the decision tree, any questions for Rob at this point, Mr. Palmer?
Rob, the options that are laid out on the screen here, I just want to make sure those are the same numbers that I'm seeing on in our materials here. Are they identical? Because I thought that I'm having difficulty seeing the screen,
yeah.
But I just want to make sure that the same numbers that are on page 16 of the value.
Let me flip to that before I say I think so.
Those are the bushel limits based on options selected.
Yeah.
Page 16.
What does page 16 say?
Those are the bushel limits, the conservation equivalency.
I don't know which slide that is for you, but I thought those numbers looked different.
Nope.
Formally, it may be that there were two sets of limit standards. One set standard was the survey, and then there was an adjustment based on recommendation of CMAQ to add 10 days at the end of 2013.
Right here.
CMAQ made an adjustment. We had to account for another 108,000.
Right.
Does that mean it's in another slide, maybe, that's attached?
I do.
Yeah.
We just have to find it. It is in here, and while I'm doing that, let me also ask the commissioner, before I go to the decision tree, would he want to have Dr. Seitz?
Yeah, we're going to take care of that before we get into the decision.
Don't know how far back it is, but it's 63.
There it is.
There we go.
That looks like it matches
Okay.
It does.
Page 16.
Okay. I think you had another one of these that were sort of shrunk up, but that's fine.
Here's another one. So the difference is, as Joe Griss mentioned, if you extend the season and bring the female crab harvest from the 21st to the 30th, it's 108,000 pounds, and that's why you see the difference in this bushel limit, where the previous slide I'm going to show you now accounts for that. In 2014, right. So March 17th through November 30th.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Dr. Neal.
Rob, I guess staff surveyed all the commercial crabbers. So you sent surveys out to everyone with some type of commercial crab license, and you had like a 30% response rate. And if I saw it correctly, the majority of that response wanted to keep the dredge fishery closed, and the majority of the crabbers also did not want the extension of the crab pot season.
I think that is correct, although the statistics might have gone in the other direction. In other words, I think what you're saying is correct, but I think what was shown is just like 46% wanted the extended season. I'm going to try and get to there. Going to the fourth slide. So 46% did support the extended season right here, option one. And so they were, the first question was just all about these five options, okay? And 9% supported option two right here, which is the dredge fishery by itself with 1.5 million pounds. Same thing for option three. The difference here between the numbers is that this actually came from a CMAQ recommendation to lower the 1.5 million to 1.249 and use the 1.5 million to cover what the crab pot extension would be, which is about 250,000 50-some million. So that's the difference there. So you can see the problem is that there were no responses here. So, in fact, 46%, the majority actually approved.
Show me, like, the question. You had more questions, 3, 4, something
yes.
like that?
Yes.
So 54% support a closure.
Yes.
That's for the crab dredge fishery.
Yes.
And 35% supported a season extension, with 57% supported a typical closure of the pot fishery.
Right.
On that. And I just was trying to get to handle what the majority of the crabbers were saying.
Any other questions? Mr. Erskine.
Rob, I had a question on that graph that you had. The R squared was 0.74, and I think you mentioned you actually threw out the or did not include the 581 million from the juvenile index. Why was that again?
It was because we knew for a fact that it didn't make it to a fishable situation. The fishery did not pick up on that 587 million. Whether that was cannibalism, which we've heard about, whether it was puppy drum, striped bass, those are all the conjectures. But I don't recall having heard that for another situation of the winter dredge survey where there was no doubt that the fishery didn't pick up on that abundance. But even if you include it, it's still a highly significant relationship. It's about 52% of the variability in total baywide harvest is explained by the juvenile production. And biologically, that's pretty significant right there. So,
Mr. Tiger.
In 2008, you talked about the, if my memory serves me, the fecundity of the female crabs in the lower Chesapeake Bay when they came out. And you said that they gave out the greatest spawning numbers in that first spawn. Is that still your opinion?
I think I'd run into some interference on that one. I think what happens is there haven't been studies. Dr. Lipschitz can talk about this, but the studies that I was referring to goes back to Cynthia Jones and Mike Prager and some others back in the late 80s. The fecundity is high, 2 million larvae. That's high. I still think that July, mid-July, wherever it is, to mid-August spawn is still the peak spawn. There has been some thought that it's not as strong as was thought and that that May spawn is larger than thought, but I think that's a scientific debate. So I hope I didn't mislead you.
That's all right. And can I have a follow-up question?
Sure.
Is there any sense when you look at the numbers and being in Cape Charles in the spring, you see those massive amount of crabs coming in, which you showed in your slide for April. How many of those crabs could we assume, if we had the dredge fishery, how many fewer of those crabs would show up? There's a number you can assign to that, do you think?
Yeah, you would just assign, I think you'd assign 90% to 1 million or 1.5 million pounds. That's the way you'd have to do that. And then when you come to the spring, you would assign probably 75% for the pot fisheries.
Okay.
Anyone else? All right. Rom and Dr. Seitz, I know you have presentations ready for us. Rochelle, if you're prepared to do that, we'll hear from you. And then we'll eventually open up a public hearing. So at our August meeting, there was a question from Mr. Plumley or an expression of concern that bottom tending deer, may be doing harm that we haven't accounted for. And he was very interested in that subject, and I knew you had some expertise in that area, so welcome.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for inviting me. And I am a faculty member at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. I've been there since 2000. And I study benthic communities. I'm a benthic ecologist, so I have some experience with those bottom communities that are in question. And so Jack invited me to give a brief summary of what we know based on existing literature on the effects of dredging on the benthos. So just as an outline of what I'd like to present today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the importance of the benthos for blue crabs, because that's really what we're talking about here, some worldwide concerns over fishing gear effects in general, and then get into specific literature examples, both on dredging effects and trawling effects. And what I'm trying to do here is to provide a brief summary of the types of effects observed, because there are over 17,000 examples in the literature of effects, and so I can't really go over all of the details, so I'm going to give you a broad brush of what the consistent trends are. And then I'd like to follow up with some sediment effects on our Chesapeake Bay benthos and some analyses that I've done using the Chesapeake Bay program data. There were some questions about different sediment types and how different types of benthos may be affected in those different sediment types. So just to get into the importance of benthic communities in general, the majority of marine biodiversity is made up of invertebrates residing in or on the sediments. So these communities are very important. And these are important as prey for blue crabs. And what I'm showing here in this panel on the right is a food web for the Chesapeake Bay that focuses on adult and juvenile blue crabs. And what I'd like to point out is their dependence on the benthos as resources in their diet. And there have been studies showing that up to 50% of the blue crab diet comes from clams alone. And so we have some other data from our own studies. This is from the York River. And here we are looking at the abundance of crabs versus the abundance of clams and worms in the sediment. And so there is a positive correlation indicating that where you have high abundances of clams and worms, you also find high abundances of crabs. So they are dependent on the benthos. There have been lots of concerns over fishing gear effects. As long as mobile fishing gear has been used, there have been concerns about its harmful effects on benthic habitats. Gear effects are described as scraping, plowing, sediment resuspension, removal, or scattering of non-target benthos. Toad bottom fishing gears constitute one of the largest global anthropogenic sources of disturbance to the seabed, and cumulative effects may cause long-term damage. So this is just kind of a summary of some of the main concerns that we've seen in the literature. I was asked to comment on the effects of crab dredging on the benthos. There is no direct evidence of crab dredging effects on Chesapeake Bay benthos. So what I'd like to do instead is try to infer the probable effects by using studies that are out there on channel dredging and also scallop dredging and trawling. And what I hope to convey to you is that there is good evidence that fishing has a profound effect on these marine benthic systems, and those effects are mainly negative. So I'm going to go through a lot of detail here, but I wanted to point out some key studies, and I'll provide the references at the end if you'd like to get even more detail than I'm providing. In a Kaiser et al. 2006 meta-analysis that is examining 101 fishing studies that were well-controlled, and those involved both trawling and dredging, they showed that scallop dredges had the most severe impacts on the benthos of the different type of gears that they looked at, and that these dredge effects were seen across all habitats, gravel, sand, and mud. And then looking at some of the different types of gear, the beam trawl effects did differ somewhat by habitat, and the range of effects that they saw were from a 72% reduction to no effect under some specific conditions. I believe that was trawling in mud had showed no effect in some percentage, small percentage of the studies. And then also that recovery of the worms after the intertidal dredging was somewhere on the order of 98 days to around 1,200 days, depending on the habitat type. From another specific study in Scotland, They showed that dredging effects were limited to fragile species, and in this case they were talking about razor clams and crabs. So in some cases it wasn't all species affected across the board, but only those fragile species. A couple of other studies of note, Linda Schaffner from VIMS did a study on channel dredging in Chesapeake Bay, so this brings it a little closer to home now. Again, this is some major dredging that was done in the lower bay, greater than 10 meters depth, and this study showed that dredge material thickness and season of depositing of that dredge material was important. Dredge material greater than 15 centimeters had detrimental effects on the benthos, whereas if the dredge material thickness was less than 15, the benthos could respond and recover from that. And this is likely because there are many opportunists in mid-Chesapeake Bay. Those are the weedy species that tend to come back very quickly. However, overall, they showed that it took about 1.5 years for the entire community to respond or to return to previous levels. And so the species that were most affected were those that were associated with tubes and burrows. And these results for Chesapeake Bay were similar to other results looking at channel dredging in other systems. So there are other studies to back up these results. Also looking sort of farther away in the Gulf of St. Lawrence in Canada, Caddy in 1973 looked at scallop dredging and trawling and showed damage to scallops left in the track, and the damage was greatest on rough bottom. Another study by Colley et al. Was a meta-analysis, or another review and analysis of a number of papers, showed that scallop dredging effects were responsible for some of the most damaging effects on benthic communities, and the effects from fishing in sand lasted on the order of 100 days. Also in southwest Scotland, a more recent study looked at scallop dredging over rocky reefs substrata and showed damages to epifaunal communities. I also wanted to look at trawling, again, to see if these if this gear had similar effects, because this gear as well, it has contact with the bottom, and you can imagine would have similar effects on the benthos. So a very nice study by Thrush and Dayton in 2002 was a review of many different papers in soft sediment communities, again, trying to get at specifically what we're concerned about in Chesapeake Bay. And they made the statement that disturbance is an important part of soft sediment systems, but the suggestion that fishing disturbance can positively affect biodiversity is unfounded. And they concluded that from this range of studies. And they also concluded that trawl effects are negatives, and that's looking across all these different studies, and that many different habitat types show the same type of results. I will point out they had one study that showed initial negative effects, and then after 10 days, there were positive abundances and biomass, and that was for the Adriatic Sea, one study. And then Colley et al. And Georges Bank, back a little bit closer to home, showed undisturbed sites had more organisms, biomass, and diversity than disturbed sites, also had hydroids, tube worms, and bryozoans, and that those organisms provided habitat for shrimp, polychaetes, brittle stars, mussels, and fish, and that prey for fish were reduced at disturbed sites. So again, getting to that sort of that food web interaction, when you're reducing the benthos, you're affecting the fish that are feeding on those systems. So just in summary of what I've shown you to this point, no studies are existing that show direct evidence or direct effects of crab dredging, particularly in Chesapeake Bay, and the effects of other dredging and trawling are overwhelmingly negative for the benthos. They have seen lower density, diversity, and fewer rare species, and that these negative effects are seen across all sediment types, sand, gravel, and mud. So to shift gears a little bit, I just wanted to look more specifically at the Chesapeake Bay and the benthic communities we have here, and I've been working with the benthic data sets from the Chesapeake Bay program, and I'm going to show you some data from their probability-based sampling or the random sampling, and it covers the years from 96 to 2004, and so this is the period of time while our dredge fishery was still in operation before the crab dredge restrictions. And the sampling was done using a young crab shown here with subsamples for grain size. And so I can divide this, the data into those data for mud and sand. So that's what I'm hoping to show you. They also took water quality parameters. And what I'm going to do is examine these communities by salinity regime as well. And this is just to show you the depth of the coverage of sampling throughout the bay. Each point is a different sample. The bay is divided into 10 strata, the main western tributaries, the lower, mid, and upper bay, and then the eastern tribs. And so here what I'm going to show is for the Chesapeake Bay benthic communities, the abundance over that nine-year time frame. So this is abundance on the y-axis, and this is by salinity regime going from your fresher water to the left, all the way to the polyhaline to the right, and there I'm showing it in two different sediment types, mud and sand, and an analysis of variance showed that there is significantly higher abundance in sand in all across all salinity regimes. So the light blue bars are higher across all of these five salinities. Now, if we look at the bay community in terms of the benthic index of biotic integrity, which is an index that the bay program uses that covers not only abundance but also diversity of the species, and it weights the opportunistic species and the long-lived species a little bit differently. So some of the opportunistic species where you'd see a lot of them in very toxic communities or toxic tributaries, those are weighted as a negative effect. So it takes into this index takes into account some of those things. And again, it's set up in a similar way. We're looking at the benthic index here on the y-axis with the five salinity regimes on the x-axis, again in mud with the dark blue and sand in the light blue. And so in general, we see that the benthic index is higher in sand. However, this pattern differs by salinity regime. So, for example, in tidal freshwater, there really is no difference by salinity. So, overall, we can say the pattern differs depending on regime. With the other four salinities, higher salinities, we do get a higher benthic index of biotic integrity in sand communities. Now, in terms of biomass. Would be then available to higher trophic levels who are feeding on the benthos. This is another similar setup to the graph where we have biomass on the Y and salinity regime on the X with the different sediment types and the different colors. There's no overall difference by sediment type for biomass. However, the general biomass differs by salinity regime. You can see all of the numbers are high for tidal freshwater and oligohaline systems. Those are areas where we've got a lot of large bivalves that are very weighty animals, very hefty. And so the overall biomass differs by salinity regime, but the pattern for sediment differs with regime. So in some areas, the sediments are similar, or the biomass is similar in both sediments, whereas for the low mesohaline, for example, biomass is higher in mud than sand. But for the majority, mostly it's very similar biomass in both of those habitats. So just a few points of discussion. As I mentioned before, as I'm finishing up here, there were no studies quantifying direct effects of crab dredging. But if we look at the effects of other dredging, such as channel dredging and scallop dredging, as well as trawling effects, we can see that these are overwhelmingly negative for the benthos and that those effects occur in all sediment types. And then just finally, what I just showed you for Chesapeake Bay is that we have, or For the 9 years up to 2004, we had more abundant and higher benthic index of biotic integrity in sand than mud, whereas some regions had higher biomass in mud. And so I'd like to just conclude by saying that if we really want to know the effects of dredging on the crab dredging on the benthos, I think a new study looking at that in specific would be warranted. So I'm going to leave you with some references. I'd be happy to send these to anyone if you want to follow up on any of these studies. I'll also be happy to provide a business card if you want to contact me by email, and I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Dr. Seitz? AJ?
I was wondering, the recovery you said was long-term. If the community came back to, I'm assuming, its original pre-dredged area, was that based on any criteria? Was it colonization of the original target species or the benthos that were underlying kind of incidental damage to that dredging?
So the Schaffner et al. Channel dredging study where I showed the 1.5 years to total mm-hmm. recovery, that was based on looking at adjacent control areas. And so the dredged area and the dredged spoil deposit area were examined in comparison to that that control community. So in terms of diversity of the entire community as well as abundance.
Okay.
So not just target species, but across the board.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Mr. Plummer.
Are you aware of any studies that are in the pipeline, any requests made for a study of this nature?
Well, I know the Army Corps has some channel dredging proposed, and so they are also interested in the effects of dredging on the benthos. I'm not sure the status of their decision process in terms of whether they're going to fund a study to examine that, but I think it would be worthwhile discussing with them, you know, how this is going to proceed and whether or not you can get such a study funded.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your report.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Lipsius.
Yeah, Commissioner, I don't really have a presentation. What I wanted to offer was simply, let me just follow up on one comment. You have to recognize that what is out there in the bay now, the benthic community and so on, it has never been sampled before or during the course of the winter dredge fishery. So the winter dredge fishery started in 1900. We don't know what that community was. And, in fact, I think it's basically a unique opportunity to try to go out there and see what is a community, at least now, without the dredging. So we would hope that the commission could at least support any kind of effort that might be funded by the Corps or whatever to do this study. It really is a unique situation. So, secondly, I wanted to provide the support for the staff recommendation on the VIMS, dredge fishery. And the reason that, one of the main reasons why we're in support of it is that, particularly the recruitment. Females, let me just back up a little bit. So females are migrating from Maryland waters down to the bay in the fall at the primary time. Those females are going to suffer very little mortality, natural mortality. Once the female gets to be over about 3 inches or so in width, there's relatively low natural mortality. In the lower bay, in addition, we don't get those severe winters that you get in Maryland, so they're not going to suffer those wintertime mortalities that you get in Maryland waters. Secondly, the females that are migrating into the sanctuary or that are already within the sanctuary area in the wintertime, they're going to get hit not only by the fall pot fishery before the winter, but then they're going to get hit by the spring pot fishery. And so my real concern is that we need to have equitability, say, in across the fisheries, which is what the commission or the staff wants. But secondly, what I don't want to have happen is this feeling of security if we maintain the winter dredge fishery closed, But those crabs are actually getting hit pretty hard by the spring pod fishery. And those females are actually the closest to spawning. Those females, if they make it to the sanctuary, that's it. They're about to spawn. So that whole recruitment that's happening is effectively simply, I think, shifting the cats from one fishery to another. Now, I will say that we don't know. The one unknown with the winter dredge fishery area is this whole... The one unknown is the impact really on the food web, the benthic community, and so on. That's the unknown. But other than that, having the dredge fishery area within the mud is going to reduce discard mortality, which is crab mortality. It's also going to largely reduce incidental mortality, except for some fraction on horseshoe crabs primarily, which would need to be accounted for. So we are in support of the, at least the recommendation, because of the whole idea that you need to be, have good control over all the fisheries, not just the winter dredge fisheries.
Thank you. We're going to open up the public hearing at this point.
Commissioner, before you do that, Joe Grist has that video from the ROV of the dredge area, if that'd be a good time to follow up with that.
How long is the video?
Probably.
All right.
Can we take a 5-minute break?
While you're setting that up, the commission's going to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and look at the video and then open up the public hearing. So we're in recess for 5 minutes.